Thank God. Let's turn over to Philippians 4. Well, we're starting out a new year. Just keep going quick, don't they? We're back here again. January. Another year. And if you remember last year, as you were finishing up December, you might have thought back where you were the year before. It's always a good time to reflect, to look at where we are, what transpired in that year, what we want to be different, to get set for the new year. I like this time of the year. Philippians 4, verse 8. Everybody there? It says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." Now look on your sheet there. Look at this verse 8 in the New International Version. It says, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." Now let's read it in the New Living Translation. "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise." Look at that, the beginning of that sentence, second sentence in the New Living Translation we just read. "Fix your thoughts on what is true," etc. As we go into this new year, we need to go before God and get our goals. If we are going to set goals, get them from the Lord. Your plan for your family, your plan for your finances, your plan for your job, your plan for your house, whatever it is, go before God and get the plan from Him. Don't make something up that you want. Get it from Him. But as you do that, and as we go into this year, let's just make up, fix our will, fix our thoughts, determine that we are going to keep our mind on godly things and what He has said in His Word, and we're not going to be pushed off it. In other words, if you go to God, or you are already, you know, you can get certain things for 2014, but as we're coming in here, God has already set in motion certain things for your life. You know that this is what you're supposed to do. You know where your family's going. You know where your ministry's going, or you know where your job is going. As we come into this year, let's just determine in our hearts right now that we are going to stay fixed on what He told us to do, on how He told us to do it, on what God said about it. And as we walk through this year, we already know that there's going to be challenges. There are. You just chalk it up. There are going to be challenges. That's not a bad confession. We live in a fallen world. Jesus said that there would be tribulation in this world. But He said, "Be of good cheer. I've overcome it." So right now, we're 5 days into this thing. That's okay. You can take the whole month of January just getting set. It's worth it to get yourself set so that the rest of the year is productive. I mean, you can go through the whole year not set anything. Some people say, "Well, it's too late. It's the fifth. It's not the first." Most people fall off their resolutions in a week or two, so don't worry about that. You're ahead of the curve. We're not talking about resolutions. We're talking about just direction from God. And don't get hung up on that. I'm saying as the Lord leads, if you just have one thing chugging on from last year, we're not saying, you know, the calendar goes to a certain day and boy, you better get on your knees for 3 days. No, whatever God's telling you, if it's the same thing that you're just going on from last year, fine. What we are saying is as we're coming into this year, use it as a time passing that 31st of December, coming into this first week, that we just look and say, I am fixing my thoughts on what God has said. His plan for my life, the way He said I'm supposed to live my life, His plan for my spouse and myself, His plan for my children, His plan for the way I'm supposed to work. In summary, what the Word of God says, the Bible, and say we are going to fix our thoughts on that and we are going to close it to outside influences. Because the enemy, chalk it up. You may go into this year and God is telling you to do certain things and you say, yes, Lord, and you start going down that way. The enemy is going to try to push you off from that. He will. He's going to try to get you off it. How will he do that? He's going to try to lie to you and push things into your mind and get you to take your mind and your eyes off Jesus, off what he said, and start looking at something else. Why? So that you'll go somewhere else, so that you'll be pushed off. This is what he does. But we're not ignorant of his devices. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 3. Fix your thoughts. Fix them. We're going to fix our thoughts on the Word of God, on what He's told us for our life, on what He said your plan is, what He said His plan is for you, the things you're supposed to be focused on. It's so people will say, well, God told me to do this. The enemy will come in and try to get you off that. God does not change his mind every 3 days. He doesn't. Well, God told me to do this. Now he told me to do this. Dad told me to do this. I'd doubt very seriously whether you're hearing from the Lord. Because he doesn't, if you walked with him, he doesn't tell you. I'm not saying he doesn't talk to you every day. He'll talk to you every moment of every day, but he doesn't change the direction of your life or major things every day. He doesn't do it. He's a God of order.
That's right.
Things that are substantial in life don't happen in a day. You lay groundwork and you keep going in the same direction. You don't get promoted at work usually by working there 2 days. And some people are looking to get promoted, and then they don't get promoted. So I'm going to go try another job. You keep doing that, you're never going to get promoted.
That's right.
And people jump way too much these days. It's like, no, I work in the tech world. Good night. Every couple years, if that, people are jumping. People don't want to be faithful.
Right.
I'm not saying companies aren't faithful either to employees, but if we'll do what God said, then we'll be blessed, regardless of who else is involved. I mentioned this the other week, but I wouldn't say Potiphar was probably the most faithful person. But Joseph was blessed anyway. I mean, he's a ruler in Egypt. Egypt was not a godly nation, if you didn't know that. No, but Joseph was still blessed. Why? He was faithful. In the prison. You know, in prison, generally, people aren't real happy. And the people that deal with the people in there are not happy. But Joseph was blessed. He was faithful. He kept going on. God will not change his mind for your life every day or two or month or even 6 months or generally a year. He'll tell you where you're supposed to go. Until he tells you something else, don't jump off.
Amen.
Amen. How is Satan going to get you to go off? There's going to be things. He's the God of this world. You got to have to understand that. He controls things. Not Christians. Well, he can control Christians if they let him. He doesn't have authority over Christians. But he does control the world. And people that are in the world that aren't Christians, he is their father. He is their God. Whether they like to hear it or not, that's what the word says. But he is able to make stuff happen. He is able to bring pressure to bear on you. But if you'll fix your mind on the word, fix your mind on what God said, he can do nothing with you, Satan. He can't push you off. Let's read 2 Corinthians 10. Verse 3. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh." See, we walk, we have a body, but we don't walk according to just natural things. Verse 4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or natural, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Now let's look on your sheet. Let's read that in the Amplified. What are we talking about? We're talking about fixing our thoughts. We're coming into a new year. It's a chance. It's just a calendar. I mean, there's no difference really than, you know, any other day. But it's a chance for us to say, look and take inventory on some things and say, yeah, I see what's been going on in certain areas. I'm focusing on what he said. I'm not going to be pushed off. Now, watch this. It says in the Amplified, "For though we walk or live in the flesh, we are not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh and using mere human weapons." What he's describing here is true spiritual warfare. Some people get flaked out ideas about this. Warfare, a lot of it is going on in your head. The devil's bringing a thought that contradicts the word of God. You have an opportunity to cast that down or to heed it. That's where a bunch of things go on for all of us all the time. It's not in your flesh trying to work it up, trying to tear something down. We're not going into that today. It is right here. Verse 4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overflow and destruction of strongholds." Verse 5, "Inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets its up against the true knowledge of God. And we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One." And you may have heard this before, and likely you have. But we're going back and saying, this is something fundamental, but it is easy to let slip. And just like if you've been in sports, you don't learn the fundamentals and then say, I never have to work on that again. If things are slipping, you come back and say, am I doing the fundamentals correctly? And this is one area where the enemy will push you. And you can look back and say, I've been thinking about all these other things. I have not focused on what God told me. I've been entertaining this. And did, you know, this is the way Satan works. He'll come and say, well, did God really say? Didn't he do that to Eve? Did God really say? You're fully convinced maybe right now of what God told you for this year. But then a challenge comes and then something else and then it doesn't look. And then what does Satan tell you? Did God really tell you to do that? This is what he does. Did God really say that? And your mind is starting to think about something it has no business thinking about. You're entertaining quitting. You're entertaining switching jobs, and God didn't tell you to switch the job. You're entertaining, and you say, well, I'm not serious. I'm entertaining. You're entertaining getting away from your, you know, breaking up, divorcing your spouse. You say, well, I'm not thinking that way. Yeah, but you're entertaining thoughts of, I just don't know if they're this and that, or they're good, or I should have married somebody else, or why do they do that? Why are you even there? That's how it starts. You start down that pathway, you don't want the end. You don't want to get to where you're divorced. Well, how does that start? You don't want to end up in an affair. How does it start? It doesn't just happen. People want to say, well, I just fell into temptation. No, you didn't. You had to go over, you had to resist step after step, thing after thing that God's put in place to keep you from getting into trouble. You had to override the Word. You had to override your marriage vows. You had to override the Holy Spirit prompting you. Now, we are tempted to think on things that we have no business thinking on and just twist them around in our mind for a little bit. Well, I'm not going to do it very much, but I'm just going to see what that feels like. If it's against the Word or if it's against what He told you to do, don't take one step that way. That's what we're talking about. No, you. What do we read in Philippians? You fix your thoughts on what? All these things, things that are lovely, things that are true, things that line up with the Word of God. You don't take one step outside of that. That's what he's talking about here. He said in verse 5, inasmuch as we refute arguments, theories, so much of that going on in this world, theories, but they're against the Word of God, and reasonings. God told Brother Hagin this once. He said, if you, Satan tries to keep you in the realm of reason. And if he can keep you in the realm of reasoning, he will whip you every time. If you think you can go toe-to-toe with Satan in the area of intellect and reasoning, you're wrong. He's a supernatural being. He's been around for millennia. He knows men inside and out. You are not smarter than him in the natural. If you go try to go toe-to-toe, he will have you so twisted and turned around and warped and convoluted that you don't know up from down. And this is exactly where people are because they start reasoning and think they're going to figure everything out. But if you'll keep Satan in the realm of faith, you'll whip him every time. He can't do anything. Because what is faith? It's believing God. Does God know more than the devil? Absolutely. So if God told you to do something and you're looking and trying to reason out going, I have no clue how that's happening. You can start trying to figure it out. Now you're in the devil's territory. Now you say, well, could it happen? Could it come from here? I don't know. What? And you just start going, you can't. He's going to whip you. He's going to discourage you. He's going to defeat you. But if you say, God said it. I don't see how, but God said it. The devil tries to tell you, you're stupid. Yeah, but God said it. There's no way that's going to happen, but God said it. You stay right there. Who's going to back you? God. If God told you to do it, does he know more than you? Absolutely. Does he know the end from the beginning? Yes, he does. Does he know how to take care of anything the devil will throw? Yes, he does. So we leave that to him. Our job is just to play stupid in that regard and say, what are you talking about? It looks possible to me because he said it. If he said it, it's going to happen. Right. Yeah, but, no buts, he said it. This is what this is talking about right here. You're refuting arguments. Yeah, but, God said. Yeah, but that girl looks really good. Yeah, but God said not to lust after anybody. That's the same as adultery. I'm not taking one step there. God said it. And theories and reasonings. Oh, yeah, but it's just a little bit. No, God said it, and I'm staying on his side. You stay there. That's just like a vault. That's just lockdown. No, I'm not moving out. I've got blinders on. God said this. I'm staying there. I'm not getting pushed off. Amen? And this is what real true spiritual warfare is. Because what is the devil trying to do? Trying to knock you into left field? Trying to get you derailed for your life, trying to split your home, trying to destroy your children, trying to get you messed up on your job. How does he do it? He tries to plant seeds in men's minds. How do we beat him? We refute his arguments, cast them down, bring him into obedience of the anointed one.
Amen.
Jesus. We just have a filter constantly running. Just rejecting a firewall that comes in. Just anything that tries to come in, we put it through the filter of God's word. That's why we need to know the word of God.
Amen.
Just blocking everything else out. If it's not godly, if it doesn't meet that filter in Philippians 8, I'm not letting it in for 1 second.
Yeah.
I'm not entertaining anything about getting off what God told me to get on. If he told me to get on this road, I'm staying there until he tells me to get off. I don't care who does what.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Well, my boss didn't treat me the way I wanted. Did God tell you to leave? Because your boss saying something to you is not the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost led you. You better let the Holy Ghost lead you out.
Right.
The boss telling you, not what you wanted to hear is not the Holy Spirit telling you to go.
Right.
Amen? Yeah. We lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ. Now, turn over to John 8:44. We're just going into lockdown mode as we're coming into 2014. Just getting ourselves ready. I remember when I was going into my third year at Rhema. Distinctly, I was in my office. I had an office in our house there where I used to work at home while I was going to Rhema. And I had on my bookshelf, I had pictures. I had my picture of graduating from second year Rhema. I can't remember. One of them was Miss Lynette Hagen, and one of them, my second year was Lynette Hagen, and the third year was Pastor Hagen, or vice versa. So one of the two I was looking at, and they take a picture as you shake their hand and get your diploma. And I'm looking at that, and I'm starting my third year. And I remember the different things that I felt as I was going through that year. I mean, people think they hear from God and they're going to, I'm going to Bible school or whatever. I mean, we heard it. My pastor told me before I ever went. People go to Bible school and they think everything's going to be roses because they're going to Bible school. It's just, people will be tempted to get, he goes, it was just insane. I was having these thoughts about, well, your wife's holding you back and, you shouldn't have got her. Now you're going to go out and do stuff. It's just, he said crazy stuff. He goes, the devil doesn't give up because you go to Bible school. He's going to push you all the way through. And I remember some of the stuff. I mean, I won't go into the different things, but you just come home and I didn't want to work, do engineering at that point. I'm still doing that today. I had to get some stuff worked out of me. I was like, well, I'm going to Bible school. I'm going on with my life. I'm not doing that anymore. Nope. God had other plans, but I would get done with Bible school and I'd go home and I'd set up my desk and type and do software engineering all afternoon. Super spiritual. Oh yeah, it was spiritual because you're doing what God told you to do.
That's right.
But I would just sometimes be, especially at the beginning, I don't want to do this. Why am I still doing this? Get mad. Telling on myself, but it was stupid. I mean, I've grown a little bit since then, but I was looking back over that year. And I looked at that picture and I said, I'm going to be there really quick. Third year is going to be over. I'm going to be in that same place. I know what's coming. I know the enemy's going to push me, but I am locking down. I am going to do what I know to do. I'm going to study, not that I wasn't studying anything, but here's what I'm planning to do, and you're setting that out at the beginning. Now I'm sticking and just being just like what we're talking about today. Fix our thoughts.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about. Fix your thoughts so that when you get to 2015, January, you can look back and say, yep, I'm running. Maybe I didn't do everything the way I ought to, but I came up. I'm further than last year, and this year's going to be better. I say this every year. This is going to be my best year, and I believe it, and it will. It will. It'll be our best year. If you believe it and act on it, it will be. That's the way God works. We just keep going up. John 8:44. John 8:44. This is Jesus. Talking to some of these religious folks, he says, "You are of your father, the devil." These are the religious people. Some people don't like to hear this, but this is what he told them. These are Jewish people, but he said, "You're of your father, the devil." The devil's the god of, I'm sure that doesn't bless them. It doesn't bless most people, but you know, we don't need to go and throw that in people's face, but this is the truth. "You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." So he speaks to you when he tells you something that's against God's word or against what God told you to do. He is lying to us. He's a known liar. Jesus just said, "He is a liar and the father of it." You can't trust anything he says. So if he says you're going down, what should you interpret that as? That it's a truth that he said, "Well, you know, you're just going down." No, why is he bothering with you if you're going down? Just let you crash. That would be the smart thing to do if you're going down, but if you're not and he's trying, it's like trash talking, you know? People in a sport saying, "You're going down, buddy." What are they trying to do? Get in your head? Yeah. Mess you up so that you will go down? Right? No, that's what the enemy is doing. Yeah. Revelation. Let's go over to Revelation. Yeah. Now, granted, it is not, he doesn't make it this obvious when he is lying to you. A good liar won't be discovered right up front. A bad liar would be, you know, you're like, "Well, okay, you're lying. I can tell." But a good liar, with all the right facial expressions and anything, you're liable to believe him if, I'm talking about naturally speaking, I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit's talking to you or anything, I'm just saying in the natural. Well, the devil is the father of lies, liars, and the father of lies. He's very good. But he's not higher than the Holy Spirit, and he can't counterfeit the Holy Spirit. He can tell you whatever he wants, but he can't counterfeit the inward witness. And he can't counterfeit the word. This is why we need to know the word. Like somebody said, you don't, and this is what has been told. I don't work in this business, so I don't know. But to figure, and this is true, you can relate this to other things in your life. To detect a counterfeit bill, you don't spend time looking at all the counterfeit bills because they're limitless. What do you spend time looking at? The real deal. If you know what the real feels like, you can detect a fraud. The more word we know, when somebody says something, no matter who they are, and it doesn't line up with Scripture, something inside of you say, "That's not right." That, I don't care if you've been born again 5 minutes. Somebody says something, you're like, "That's not right, that's not right." We could go into example after example of this. You follow that. That's why you need to have Scripture to stand on for your doctrine. Not because somebody says it real nice, and they have a lot of people following them, that means nothing. It's only the Word of God. Anything I say, anything anybody says, you ought to be able to prove it from the Word of God. So Satan will come to you and lie. How do you detect a lie? Because it doesn't line up with the Word and it doesn't line up with what God has told you. But Satan won't come and just say, "Begin lie. Here I am. This is a lie coming." And he'll give you the lie and say, "Okay, end lie." He doesn't say it like that, you know. Like I'm in software, you have these brackets, start and end. Lies or, you know, any kind of software or whatever. No, he is going to twist it, the worst lies, the most subtle lies are half-truths. So he'll say, those people are doing such and such. This person said that. And he'll do this. I know what Pastor Jim said last Sunday, but this is true. This isn't a lie. You know you're going down. Oh, yeah, you've heard casting down thoughts, but this is true. This is not. You can see everything with your own eyes. This is happening. This is happening. The money isn't coming. This is not a lie. Yeah, this is the devil, but you can't do anything about it. You're going down. And that's more what it'll sound like, to where it looks like you're going down. This is when you have to cast down the thought.
That's right.
Because did you notice, what is it basing the argument on? What you can see, what you can feel, reason, understand. Is it saying, well, but the Word of God says, you'll never hear that. But the Word of God, you have to come back with the Word and cast it down anyway and says, but God said this. It will be subtle. Just chalk it up right now. It's not going to be in big letters, flashing, and saying, no, this, you need to refute this now. Use the word now. Now is what we are talking about in January. It's not going to be like that. It will look bad. It will look true. Yeah. It's a deception. How do we recognize a deception? Because it doesn't line up with the word. But this is how the enemy operates and how he always has operated. Verse 7, chapter 12 of Revelation, verse 7. Satan does not want you to hear this today. I don't care if you've heard it before. He does not want you to hear this now. This is uncovering him, exposing him, and if we'll put it into practice, all of us, he can't deal with this. Verse 7, and war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Notice that. Satan, what does he do? He deceives the whole world. He's a deceiver. He's a liar. I want to read a little bit of what that word means. Strong says it this way. Deceives is to properly, to cause to roam from safety, truth, or virtue, to go astray, deceive, err, seduce, wander, be out of the way. I'm going to read that again. Deceive means to cause, to roam. This, think of it, think of what we're talking about. We're talking about going in this year, fixing on the Word, fixing on what God told us to do. What is deception going to come? And who's the deceiver? Satan. What does he do? To cause to roam from safety, truth, virtue, to go astray, to deceive, to err, to seduce, to wander, to be out of the way. Vine says to deceive by leading into error, to seduce. Webster says to cause to accept as true or valid what is false or invalid. To cause to accept as true or valid what is actually false or invalid. That's to deceive. One of my instructors at Rhema put it this way. To deceive means to cause to think on things that aren't true. To cause to think on things that aren't true. This is what he does. So when he brings imaginations and reasonings and arguments, he holds them up to you, and they come into your mind, And he's trying to get you to accept this as truth. To try to get you to accept that you're a loser. To try to get you to accept that you'll always be this way in health. To try to get you to accept that nobody will ever marry you. He's trying to get you, trying to get you this package of lies and for you to buy them. But know who is presenting them. He's a known liar. He's a known deceiver. And his purpose is to get you to think on things that aren't true. You become discouraged when you think on his lies. Because he is a destroyer. He comes to destroy. So his thoughts are going to be of destruction. Your health will fail. Your spouse will leave you. Your children will not turn out right. They're going to fire you at the job. Nobody likes you anyway. What's he trying to do to get you to think on that? To try to accept it as truth. If you accept it as true, you'll act like it's true. You'll let it go around and around in your head. You'll speak it out your mouth. And it can become true. What do? We lock down our mind. And the minute we have something come across that we recognize as untruth, no matter how true it feels, we cast it down and say, that's not what God's word says. I will not accept it. And hold right in that realm of faith. What is faith? It's believing what you can't see. It's believing what you don't feel. It's believing what is contradictory to what sense knowledge says or what reason would say, but you believe it because God said it. And I stay right there and God brings me through. Hallelujah. Thank God. Let's read a couple more on your sheet. Well, actually, we're in Revelation. Let's just read that. Revelation 20. Revelation 20, verse 7. It says, now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to what? What does he go out to do? To deceive. This is what he does. He deceives. To deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints in the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night, forever and ever. Thank God. He's going to get his, but what is his job description now? He's a deceiver. If he had one of those little plaques on his desk, Satan, you know, John such and such, Esquire, lawyer, it'd be deceiver. This is what he does. This is who he is. He's the father of it. He can't tell truth. He can't help himself. So when we go through this year, we're in lockdown. We are fixing our minds on what God said. And anything that pops up that's not of him, we are shutting it down because we know if it didn't come from God, it didn't come from somewhere we need to entertain at all. We know the devil is our enemy. We know he is trying to deceive us. We are not going to allow ourselves to be deceived. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Lord.